Kadyota Archi
Ivanahi
Mahatilara Mayaisham Nihanti Atmani Yunjataha Tamyam Tamovan Naiharam Tamyam Tamovan Naiharam Kadyo Tarchir Ivahani Kadyo Tarchir Ivahani Mahatitara Mayaisyam Mahatitara Mayaisyam Nihant Yatmani Yunjataha Nihant Yatmani Yunjataha Tamyam Tamovan Naiharam Karayo Tarchir Ivahani Mahatitara Mayaisyam Nihant Yatmani Yunjataha
Others, please.
Tamyam. On a dark night, tamavat, just as darkness, naiharam, produced by snow, kadyota archi, the light of a glowworm, eva, just as, ahani, in the daytime, in the sunlight. Mahati, in a great personality. Itaramaya, inferior mystic potency. Aishyam, the ability. Nihanti, destroys. Atmani, his own self. Yunjataha, of the person who attempts to use. translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As the darkness of the snow on a dark night and the light of a glowworm in the light of day have no value, the mystic power of an inferior person who tries to use it against a person of greater power is unable to accomplish anything. Instead, the power of that inferior person is diminished. We could say it together. As the darkness of the snow on a dark night and the light of a glowworm in the light of day have no value, the mystic power of an inferior person who tries to use it against a person of greater power is unable to accomplish anything. Instead, the power of that inferior person is diminished. Purport. When one wants to supersede a superior power, one's own inferior power becomes ludicrous. Just as a glowworm in the daytime and snow at night have no value. Brahma's mystic power became worthless in the presence of Krishna, for a greater mystic power condemns inferior mystic power. On a dark night, the darkness produced by snow has no meaning. The glowworm appears very important at night, but in the daytime its glow has no value. Whatever little value it has is lost. Similarly, Brahma became insignificant in the presence of Krishna's mystic power. Krishna's Maya was not diminished in value, but Brahma's Maya was condemned. Therefore, one should not try to exhibit one's insignificant opulence before a greater power. Om Agena Timanandasha Jinanjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Vilitamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitamyena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadapti Swaparantikam. So, I am not going to recount the details of the story. Don't worry. Everybody can rest. Not that that's not important, but it's been done a couple dozen times already, so everybody knows the details of the story. So the point here. Yeah, so it's talking about how one should not try to exhibit one's insignificant opulence before a greater power. So certainly Lord Brahma was before a greater power, before Krishna. Actually, I'll recount one detail of this story just to make this point. Just to how much of a greater power Krishna was. It's mentioned in the purport to text 18. It says, according to the Vedas, Ekam Bahusham, the personality of Godhead can become many, many millions upon millions of calves and cowherd boys, as he did to bewilder Brahma more and more. So it wasn't like, I don't know how many cowherd boys and calves Krishna went out with that morning, whether it was, you know, there's no mention really. But in any event, when it came time to bewilder Brahma, there were many, 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 many millions upon millions of calves and cowherd boys. How many is that, by the way? Any mathematicians here? How many is many, many millions upon millions? Can anybody tell us? How many that is? Many, many millions upon millions. A lot of millions. I mean, a lot of millions, right? Okay, so Krishna expanded his, that many times, and each one looked exactly like that particular cow herd boy or that calf, and didn't just have the exact same physical appearance, external appearance, even the personality was the same. Doesn't specifically mention it, but maybe even the, you know, because there's the gross body and the subtle body, even the way the mind in that particular cowherd boy was working was the same, but it was Krishna. So, I mean, it's like, this is a really amazing pastime. In terms of inconceivability and amazingness, if there is such a word, this may be the most amazing pastime. I mean, this is really amazing what Krishna did here. See? So what do we get from that? So, you know, what's, all right, so what? Well, one thing that the message I get when I think about this is that with Krishna, all bets are off. You're dealing with a, when you're dealing with Krishna, you're dealing with a person who's so inconceivably powerful, so inconceivably great, that all bets are, no, that expression means that the outcome is unpredictable. Outcome is unpredictable. And which is good for devotees. It's bad for people who are against Krishna as well, as mentioned here. You know, if you try to show your power against a person of greater power, it will accomplish nothing. Instead, the power of the inferior person is diminished. So if you're not a devotee, well, that's going to work against you. It's kind of like, I think Prabhupada says it in a previous purport, it's like trying to rebel against the government. You know, first you're going to deal with the police force, and if somehow or another you get beyond the police force, well, then there's the army. You're not going to be successful rebelling against the government. You're going to lose. But if you're working in harmony and submission and cooperation with the government, then you got all that power behind you. You see, rather than having all that power against you, when you're working in cooperation and submission with the will of the government, you got all that power behind you. See, so that's the significance of this point. All bets are off. When somebody's prepared to work with Krishna, all the power of Krishna is there. As Prabhupada says in the chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita, text 5, the purport, he says, we may think of doing something, but it is not always possible. There might be some impediment. You know, but when Krishna wants to do something, simply by his willing, everything happens so perfectly that one cannot imagine how it's being done. So this is like a, gives us some idea of not only how powerful Krishna is, but how he does things effortlessly, basically. He just has to will it. And just by his willing. This pastime is sort of, I think, an example of that, because it doesn't, as I think Maharaj mentioned yesterday in his class, Krishna didn't go off to some laboratory or something like that, or some factory, and you know, you didn't have to work on this for a while. He just, from one moment to the next, he just decided, okay, expand. And there it was. You know, just by his willing, he was able to do that. So when Krishna wants to do something, simply by his willing, everything happens so perfectly that you cannot imagine how it's being done. So we just have to, we have to act in some way, in such a way, that Krishna wants to do something that's going to be beneficial for us and beneficial for everybody else. That's the essence of being a devotee. You know, we're not the doers. We're not trying to make it happen as a result of our own prowess and abilities and talents. We're surrendering to Krishna with that faith, with that understanding and that faith that, yeah, I surrender to Krishna and Krishna will make it happen. Krishna will change my life. Krishna will change the world. It's possible. You know, what's impossible for Krishna? Prabhupada said, right, he chastised Ramaswara Maharaj here. You know, they were on that walk at Venice Beach, and when he got the instruction, okay, now you have to print. You know, they wanted to, Prabhupada was wanting to get the Chaitanya Charitamritas out, and he was moving too slow, so they were walking along the beach, and so Prabhupada said, I want them all to come out very quickly. And so Ramaswara was talking to the BBT press manager at the time, his name was Radha Balaba, and they came back and said, Prabhupada, I think we can get, I can't remember the number, you know, I think we could produce one book a month, which was like twice as fast as what they were doing, and Prabhupada said, no, I want 17 books in 4 months. I want 17 books in 2 months. And Ramaswara said, but Prabhupada, that's impossible. And Prabhupada's response was, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. That was for Krishna. When Krishna empowers somebody, nothing's impossible. You know, if Krishna empowers you, you could do it. So anyway, so that's there. And once again, this is, you know, this is good news for the devotee. You know, this is good news for the devotee. There's another an excerpt of a letter Prabhupada wrote to Bhamananda, where he talks about Krishna's being kind upon us. So, you know, he's talking about how Arjuna was a warrior and Krishna wanted him to fight, and Arjuna, you know, he never expected Krishna to do everything. So Prabhupada says, so how's it going? So ordinarily we have to try our best to our best capacity to achieve something, And then by Krishna's grace, all of a sudden, we shall see everything is there. That sort of happiness, that sort of help from Krishna is transcendental happiness. See? So not only is it that Krishna can do everything and he can empower his devotees, but when we experience that, when we engage in devotional service with that, this faith, with this understanding, and you experience this reciprocation, when you experience this happening in your own life, you know, something you thought was impossible, and you experience it happening, then it gives you great faith, and even beyond that, it gives you great. It's transcendental. Prabhupada defined that as transcendental happiness. This kind of help from Krishna is transcendental happiness. And so, how far can it go? Well, here's another expression, platitude or whatever they call it. The sky is the limit. You know, I started off the class by saying, with Krishna, all bets are off. That's true. And another one is, the sky is the limit. With Krishna, the sky is the limit. You know, there's no limit. There's no limit to how much happiness a devotee can experience. When somebody gets onto the spiritual platform, the transcendental platform, there's no limit. We hear, you know, you read in the Nectar Devotion that the happiness of devotional service is the happiness of the Brahman, of experiencing Brahman, is like a teeny, just like a teeny drop of water in an ocean compared to the happiness one experiences in devotional service. So the success a devotee can experience, the happiness a devotee can experience, basically no limit. All bets are off. The sky is the limit when you're dealing with Krishna. See? And you could say, well, you know, that's nice to hear. That's the kind of thing, obviously, you're telling us what we want to hear, Bhagupati, you know, but is it really the case? I mean, can you give us an example of maybe when that's happened? Yeah, I'll give you an example. Prabhupada himself was the example. Prabhupada, in a letter to Sudama, 1972, he wrote to him, when I was alone in your New York, I was thinking, who will listen to me in this horrible, sinful place? But at least I can distribute a few of my books. That is something. He said, but Krishna was all along planning something I could not see. He brought you sincere American boys and girls to me one by one for spreading the message of Lord Chaitanya. Now I could see it as a miracle. And otherwise, one old man in your city of New York with barely enough money to buy edibles, how could he survive? You see, Prabhupada's actually feeling like this. He's going, how could I survive, be expected even to survive? What to speak of establishing a God consciousness movement for the salvation of the entire human race? You see? So there's an example of that. The sky is the limit. Prabhupada is an example. He came here. Everybody knows the story. I'm not going to tell that story either. But, you know, Prabhupada came, 70 years old, bad health, no money, didn't know anybody. You know, how could he survive even? What to speak of 10 years later, or a little more, maybe 10 years and a few months later, he's riding down Fifth Avenue on the Jagannath Rath Yatra car. How many were there for that Rath Yatra, 1976?
Archita.
No, not? Okay, so Arjuna. Is anybody there? I was there. Sarva, you there? Anybody else? That was an amazing Rath Yatra. That was like a triumph, you know, a triumph for Prabhupada. The same, the city where he started, where he showed up 10 years prior to that as a penniless immigrant, you know, no money, no nothing, you know, poor health, all those things. You know? Who would ever think that 10 years later, that same person would be sitting on the Rath Yatra cart as the supreme guest of honor in this parade, you know, that was going right down Fifth Avenue. It's amazing. And they had the big park, festival in the park there, Washington Square Park. So there's an example of that. You know, the sky is the limit. That's an amazing Horatio Alger rags to riches sort of a story. From obscurity to whatever the other word would be, the opposite of that. What? Prominence, yeah. So that's, you know, there's an example. Prabhupada is the example of that. And so on a personal level, you know, that could happen to any of us if we can somehow or another manage to be even a fraction as sincere as Prabhupada. And we see that actually even within our movement that it's happening to different devotees. Different devotees have different degrees of success in their preaching. You know, perhaps not to the degree of Prabhupada, or maybe some, you might see it like that. But it's happening. And it can happen on an individual level, and also, even more important, perhaps, is it can happen on a social level or collective level. See? In other words, it's not just, we should be optimistic about becoming Krishna conscious ourselves. We should never become, what's the word, despair? You know, when you become discouraged, there's another word I was looking for, but never start thinking, defeatist mentality, thinking there's no hope. Been at this for so long and I don't really feel anything's happening and I don't think it works, you know. No. Should never feel like that. We should always have that, you know, remember, look around at people who are becoming successful, remember the philosophy, and just be optimistic that there's great hope that, you know, I can become a pure devotee, even in this lifetime, you know, by Krishna's mercy. Right? And also, there's great hope that this, by this same principle, that this movement can become extremely successful. We see that's, you know, happening in bits and pieces in different parts of the world. It could happen right here. And the principle, how that happens, is explained. Prabhupada explains that in one purport in the fourth canto. I can't remember the chapter in the text, but he goes how the pure devotee is always thinking about how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And this is not verbatim. This is like I'm paraphrasing, close paraphrase. And therefore, and Krishna is pleased with that. He's pleased. He knows that that's how the pure devotee is thinking. And so Prabhupada says, so therefore, Krishna enlightens the general populace in reciprocation with the devotee, you know, to reciprocate with his devotee. Krishna enlightens the general populace from within by his causeless mercy. See, so that's my understanding of how it works, how the Krishna conscious movement has spread, is spreading, and will spread in the future. It's not anything external. You see, it's not because we don't have a good enough sign out on Venice Boulevard that, you know, or if we had a better sign, the real thing is it's devotional. It's the devotional service. So anything you do, if we did get a better sign and more people started coming, it wouldn't be because, oh, see, we got a better sign. No, it's because Krishna appreciates that some devotee is concerned about spreading my, you know, movement, and he went to all the trouble to organize a better sign, and, you know, there's a lot of things involved and everything. It's Krishna reciprocating with the devotion of the devotees, not the actual external thing. It doesn't make much difference one way or the other. See? So when we become sincere enough, you know, and then that's happening, you know, then Krishna at some point, he just makes it happen. He enlightens the general populace from within by his causeless mercy, and people it just clicks. It's like a light goes on in their head. Oh yeah. Actually, you know what? These Hare Krishnas, they really are cool. These people, I mean, when I go there, I feel something different. I mean, I'm not just kidding myself. There's definitely a different atmosphere there. These people are more peaceful. They're more respectful. They're, I don't know, they seem happier. You know, it'll click at some point when we follow the instructions of Prabhupada, the basic instructions, well, all the instructions, to the point where, you know, Prabhupada's pleased, Lord Chaitanya's pleased with getting, we're actually getting purified. At some point, boom, it could happen just like that. Boom, people, just something can happen and people will understand, wow, Krishna consciousness is where it's at. And this movement could become a huge success. Once again, on the principle of dealing with Krishna, all bets are off and the sky is the limit. So, bearing those thoughts in mind, we should take our devotional service very seriously. Be very serious just about the basic things that Prabhupada gave us. The basic things being chanting 16 rounds, following the four good principles, for all of us here that I'm looking at, coming to the program. I mean, if you don't live close to a temple, okay, you got an excuse. You know, I don't think Prabhupada was expecting people to drive 50 miles every morning or something like that to come to a morning program, or certainly not 75 or 100 miles. It's just not practical. You might not even work here, and et cetera, et cetera. But if you're living right here, for the people who are just, you know, in the ashram or in the temple apartments as temple dependents, definitely Prabhupada would want us to be coming to the program. You know, in addition to chanting your 16 rounds and following the four principles, attending the program is definitely something that Prabhupada would want you to be doing. You know, that would be, you know, basic minimum requirement like that. And then beyond that, just doing as much service as you possibly can. And if we do like that, as we're doing here in New Dwarka for years on end, then things just keep getting more and more purified. At some point, Krishna is going to just make it happen. Just like, I mean, I'll give you my services over, for the most part, in Sankirtan. And when you go on Sankirtan, it's not like when you step out there, the first person you talk to takes a book, or the second or the third, and then, you know, maybe there's a few people that don't, and then the next person. You can go for hours on end. I mean, well, if any of you who aren't Sankirtan devotees talk to some Sankirtan devotees, they'll tell you that you can't predict how it's going to go out there. You could be out there for 2 or 3 hours trying really hard, and nothing happens. Nobody takes a book. Nobody even stops to talk to you. That happens sometimes. All right, is there any Sankirtan devotee that's had an experience like this where you're trying? No reciprocation. And then, I mean, you just, rather than give up, you just decide, okay, I just got to try harder, and I got to pray harder, and you persevere, and you keep doing that, and then, boom, the whole thing changes. I mean, I've had so many days like that. I've had so many days where I was this close to stopping. I remember one day I was in, when we were in the airport, I was in the distributing in Terminal 4, American Airlines, which was had a reputation of being a tough terminal. And I went for like an hour and a half, and nobody, with the speaker of anybody stopping and taking the book, nobody would even stop to talk to me. And I said, that's it, I've had enough. I'm out of here, you know. And I started packing the boxes back on the cart, you know, one of those smart carts, and I was going to go back out, you know, to the car and just take a nap or something like that. So as I was going, I felt guilty about it, though, you know, because, you know, even though I tried, I felt I probably should try a bit harder, but no, I'm not going to. Anyway, so as I was starting to go back, I had all the boxes loaded up and everything. I'm already going back. And I see somebody that looks, you know, kind of nice. So I said, well, okay, maybe I'll just try one person. So as I'm pushing the, you know, heading out, I says, hey, excuse me, we're flying in or flying out, whatever we say. And, you know, I started talking to him, and I gave him the book, and I did my little spiel. And they took the book, and they gave a nice donation. I thought, oh, okay, well, at least one person got a book, you know. But anyway, I'm still going. I'm still out of here, Krishna. I'm heading to the van. So I kept going, and then I saw one more person that looked kind of a little bit receptive. And I said, okay, well, I guess I could just try one more person. How's that going to hurt? So I stopped that person, and I did my pitch, my sales pitch, and that person took a book, gave a nice donation. I said, okay. Well, anyway, I'm still out of here. I'm still going. I don't think you're going to get me to stay. Anyway, so I kept going, and I tried a third person. And same thing. That person stopped. They took the book, a couple books. They gave a nice donation. I said, okay, Krishna, you win. You win. Darn it. Looks like I got to stick it out. Well, it got a bit better. So I turned around, went back, and put all the books back on the floor there, took them off the cart, and I just got back into it. Had the biggest day ever I've had in the airport. I couldn't believe it. And it started off, I couldn't even stop. Nobody would even stop. What, this speaker take a book and give a donation? Nobody would even stop to talk to me. And then just from one kind of moment to the next, everything was totally different. I wasn't doing anything different, except for I just hung in there, kept praying, kept trying to Krishna. I guess Krishna appreciated that I didn't throw in the towel, and he said, okay, you know, you passed the test, have a blissful day. Boom. The activities of devotional service are not under the auspices, they're not under the control of the external energy, they're under the control of the internal energy. That's the only way I could explain that. I mean, I was here, I was in the same terminal, the same person, with the same books, the same people, why all of a sudden from one moment to the next did everything change? And actually, to be honest with you, it wasn't just the external results that changed. Internally, it changed too. News. Not only was nobody stopping for me, not only was nobody taking a book or talking to me even, but I felt bummed out. And I was feeling very, like, discouraged and depressed and like that. But then when that happened, when I didn't give up and I just decided, let me just keep trying, not only did everybody start taking a book and giving donations, but I felt blissful. And I mean, and the blissful, it wasn't, I didn't feel blissful because now I'm getting good results. I was chanting, and all of a sudden I was experiencing a higher taste when I was chanting. And I just, you know, in between people I was chanting and experiencing a higher taste, and the people were, you know, stopping now and taking books and giving donations. So it was like, you know, from black to white. What other explanation for that is other than it's Krishna? So anyway, I gave that example just to make the other point that it's the same thing that, you know, that's on a microcosm. It's the same thing on a bigger macrocosm, on a bigger scale. In the same way, we just have to, as a community, as a movement, persevere. You know, persevere and act fine to just follow the basic program that Prabhupada's given us. And, you know, when Krishna wants to do something simply by his willing, everything happens so perfectly, we're not even going to be able to understand how it happens. You know, wow, how did that happen? But that's the potential of the Krishna consciousness movement on an individual level and on a collective level. As I said, all bets are off, the sky is the limit. So we should, you know, be very, as Rupa Goswami says, enthusiastic, determined, patient, etc. All those things, and just keep on going. Good things are on the horizon. Okay, so I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Rabindranath Prabhu.
Where is that stated? A prophet said that Krishna enlightens the general populace.
That, as I mentioned, is from fourth canto. I can find it for you, but as I said in the class, I can't remember the chapter and the text. But I can easily find it for you because I know it's in the back of the book called The Nectar of Book Distribution. Okay. So I could get that for you within like 20 minutes after class. Okay. Yeah. Sachin Andanapur.
Thank you very much for the speaking so nicely, the philosophy and also the practical suggestions and also the stories as well. Very inspiring. I wonder if you could take a moment, Prabhu, just to speak something from that 1976 Rath Yatra that sticks out in your mind as kind of a high point of that particular Rath Yatra, the 1976 Rath Yatra in New York.
Oh, say something about that?
Yeah, something that really
sticks
out in your mind.
That was there. I was going to remember different things. I'll just tell you what I remember, okay? Because that'll be the most powerful. Because right. I remember Sura Das, before the Rath Yatra started. You know, it started at up at 59th and 5th. Sorry? Yeah. 59th and 5th, right? Okay. So the carts were already up there, and Sura went out early. He went out about a couple hours before the parade started. He distributed 75 hardcover books before the parade even started. That sticks in my mind. Do you remember that? He distributed 75 hardcover books before the parade even started. Because, you know, people had never seen anything like that. The carts were there. The devotees were there. So the crowds were gathering around. The surges went ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And the books went out like, you know, hotcakes. And I was really impressed by that. And then the parade was really fabulous. And another thing I remember was that when Prabhupada was giving his talk, there was some, some in the crowd, towards the end, some heckler in the crowd, you know, at the back, and he started like yelling out things, and devotees were going, oh, no, this is ruining it. And, they asked him to be quiet, but he wasn't cooperative. And then some big guy came out of the crowd. This guy was standing on a, you know, they have these fountains, and they have like a rim around the fountain to keep the water. Okay, so he was standing on the fountain, right? And he was heckling away, even after they asked him to please, come on, please, could you give us a break? And the guy was, no, no, no. So this sympathetic guy came out of the crowd, walked right up to the guy and went, boom! And he just punched him right in the head there, and the guy went, You just fell back into the pond, into the water. Yeah, I want you to remember something more. He fell back into the pond, and after that he was quiet. But that was pretty far out. Yeah, Archidapu.
Just for accurate geography, that's okay. Not Columbus Circle where it starts. Columbus Circle is 59th and 7th.
Right, yeah, you're right. No, it's 59th and 5th.
Starts at 59th and 5th and goes down 5th Avenue. Not Columbus Circle. So for accuracy, people listening on the internet will think we're crazy if we say that's Columbus Circle.
As a New Yorker, you should know that, Sachinandana. Parivijja? Parvati? Maybe you was there for that. Were you there for that, New York Rath Yatra?
77, not 76, unfortunately. Now I just want to share a Sankirtan story you reminded me of. One day I was doing Sankirtan, and I've done only a few times Sankirtan. And I didn't do anything up till 6 o'clock, I think. I was in a town, so I wandered outside the town where houses were and the cars driving. And in order to find myself up, I was singing, Govindam, Adi Purusham. Then I rang a door. Man opened. I showed the Bhagavad Gita. I said, this is a book about reincarnation. He said, oh, we were just talking about that. So I was saying something else. He said, oh, we were just talking about that. Then he entered me in, and on the record player was playing Govindam Adi Purusham. And the man was a psychic, but it was spooky, but also very nice.
Any of the ladies like to ask a question or add anything? Okay, thank you very much. Guntro Shumad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.